So I'd just like to conclude now. So in this talk, I've investigated a number of ways how the theme of spiritual death runs through our spiritual lives and our practice. I've looked at fear, the fear we may feel when facing death, and how we can react to this by retreating into nihilism, eternalism, the past and the future, all our strategies. I've talked about how I encourage people in pain or who are ill to see the present moment as a moment of freedom. There is just this moment, and it contains a wealth of experience, both pleasant and unpleasant, when we release ourselves from the tyranny of past and future and die into the moment. I've looked at the connection between death and love. One could say that we have to die from narrow egohood if we are to truly love. And I've looked at how we can bring an attitude of spiritual death to any meditation that we're engaged in. So I think that the system of meditation we've got in the Western Buddhist order is very rich and contains a tremendous amount of scope for investigating spiritual death. But in my experience, it does seem to take time to work it all out, how to apply oneself to the different practices in a helpful way. And it seems in the end to come down to confidence, each of us having the confidence to work that out in our own way. So having the confidence to be creative and flexible, but not becoming too woolly and vague, those are obviously the two extremes to work with. And a couple of years ago, I went on a retreat with John Kabat-Zinn, who practices meditation with the Insight Meditation Society. It was a training retreat. It wasn't sort of a full-on thing. It was a training retreat for people who work with people in pain or people who have pain. But he did teach us meditation with his method, which is very similar to what Vajradevi's been doing in the workshops, where one has different objects of concentration at different times, the sensations, the breath, feelings, emotions, thoughts, or choiceless awareness. And with each of these awareness methods, one simply watches the object of concentration coming and going, and you investigate its true nature. So the whole approach is very much one of non-striving, non-doing, just resting and being and the moment. And I decided when I was there, I'd just pretend I didn't know how to meditate before, and I'd just do what I was taught, not sort of mess about with my other practice, just think, okay, I'm just going to give this a go. And what was really interesting was by the end of it, I felt much more relaxed and less tired than I normally did when I've been on intensive meditation retreat. So this showed me that I've developed habits over the years of trying too hard in more overtly bhavana practices. So rather than thinking I've got to throw out the overtly bhavana practices, I thought, well, I've just got to bring this attitude of non-doing into my bhavana practices. So I used the discovery as an opportunity to bring in a much more gentle, hands-off approach to my usual meditation. So I could see it wasn't the methods that were the problem, it was my approach that was what was making me tired. So over the subsequent couple of years, I've explored a lot this dynamic between more active or overtly bhavana practices and more receptive or non-doing practices. So one can also describe this as transcendence and immanence, the two different approaches. And personally, I find that I need both. I need both attitudes in my practice at different times and within each sit, actually, on the whole. I seem to need to do something quite active at the beginning to get myself going, and then to back off and rest more in pure awareness later on. Viveka, in her talk, quoted something from a book by Alan Wallace, Buddhism with Attitude, where he called these two approaches control and release, which I think is quite interesting. So control is where we focus and sustain attention on the chosen object at will, and release is, instead of applying antidotes to the toxins in the mind stream, we stop polluting the mind stream, settling the mind in its natural state. So those are the two different ways we can work in meditation. So I'd say since I've been exploring those two different approaches, my meditation's become a lot richer and more open without becoming sloppy, because I still keep the structures there also in quite a specific way. So I'm grateful for the structures of the practices I've been taught in WBO, and I'm now grateful that I've got the confidence to relax within the structures and try to find that spaciousness to be present as much as I can with honesty in each moment. So personally, I feel I've got everything I need, and really it's just up to me to do it. I think that's the great difficulty for many of us, isn't it? It's actually just doing it, applying what we know in a helpful way and getting on with it. So I'm going to finish with a poem by Kathleen Rain, which I think sums up really well what I've been trying to talk about. And this poem is called The Moment. To write down all I contain at this moment, I would pour the desert through an hourglass, the sea through a water clock, grain by grain and drop by drop. Let in the trackless, measureless, mutable seas and sands. For earth days and nights are breaking over me, the tides and sands are running through me, and I have only two hands and a heart to hold the desert and the sea. What can I contain of it? It eludes and escapes me. The tides wash me away, the desert shifts under me.